Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting. Good morning, all, and welcome to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spilbore. It is Carol Pesci. It is this fella here, a Frankenberry. And, we've got another show for you. And we have a very, very cool guest in segment number two that you definitely want to tune into, especially if you're looking for a little assist when it comes to the wallet and the purse.
Yes, Kate Northrup. She's the author of multiple books, and she's got a fascinating approach to if you're struggling with money or you stress about money, even if you have enough money and you still find stress with it, that it might. Your lack of money may have nothing to do with your intelligence or your effort, that there's actually something within your own nervous system that might need to be reset. She's got a program called the Money Reset. And it's really at the core of it, law of attraction, like adjust your energy, get your nervous system right, and things will fall into place. So that's going to be, I'm looking forward to that conversation. She's super smart, super cool. She's been on the show before. So looking forward to that.
All right. Very, very cool.
Well, she's not the only special guest that we have.
That is definitely the case here. You are correct there, Ms. Spilbore.
I think we have to, especially for the listeners who have been with us since the beginning, right?
Right.
For 14 years or however long it's been. We have kind of in the background, but she can be a guest anytime she wants. The one, the only Mama Chewy.
Hello, everybody.
Mama Chewy.
Yes, there we go. Mama Chewy. Now, as Jonna said, for those of you that may have been hung with us since the beginning, first of all, if you have and you still are, you are definitely certifiable and you need to talk to somebody. But we've had Mama Chewy along with us on many an occasion, especially in the early days of doing this show. And she would be a regular guest and she would chime in very often with
we were
Mama
live. She called in all the time.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And, she would also keep us in check. That's what a Mama Chewy does.
Number one fan.
That's right.
She is.
And for those of you wondering what a Mama Chewy is, it's my mom. And I happen to be recording this down on a visit in North Carolina to see her and my sister. So this timing worked out great that she could join the gang for a little while.
Yes.
I know. Well, we definitely miss you, Mama Chewy, on the air, and I miss you in person as well. Although I was lucky enough to see Mama Chewy not that long ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
For a nice in-person visit, although I bet you the weather in North Carolina is probably
vastly
a little nicer
than it was in February after that. Yes.
Yes.
It's about 80 degrees today. It's beautiful.
Oh, very nice.
It was 34 last night.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was chilly. But I did have coffee out by the little creek this morning, Jonna. So.
Oh, see, isn't that nice and serene? How was it?
Look at you getting all idyllic and stuff.
Idyllic. Did you meditate, Carol, when you were having your coffee by the little stream?
I didn't. I was chatting with my sister.
Oh. Okay. So you didn't like sit cross-legged on a dock, holding your elbows to your knees with your hands up in the air going,
I might.
Well, Frankenberry, that's not the only way to meditate anymore. I am pleasantly, I guess, surprised myself to report to you, Frankenberry.
Oh, wait, you were going to try this, weren't you? Well, you've been saying for years that you were going to try meditation, and eventually you realized just because margarita also starts with an M, it's not the same?
Well, I think you can combine margaritas with meditation because
you probably can.
So I could never do the M word. We've talked about this over the years because I just can't. I've tried a million times the whole you get in a yoga pose, you close your eyes, maybe your head's on a pillow. And then I start thinking about the grocery list, all the things I have to do, all the clients, the upcoming, and it just never would work. But luck would have it, very recently, Carol and I both have, we talked about this author maybe a couple of weeks ago on the show, Kevin Trudeau. He's got a podcast and a YouTube channel, and I stumbled on his episode about how to actually meditate, different from the way we've all been taught to meditate, where you have to quiet your mind and not think about anything. He's like, no, screw that. Think about what you want. Just let those thoughts come bubbling up, and then bing, you get rid of them. It's a whole different way to do the thing.
Yeah.
One
of the ways he suggests is to stare at a single flame and just put your attention on that flame. And if a thought, and that's what I used to, like, a thought would come in and then I'd get mad, right? I'm like, no, not supposed to think. And he's like, no, that's good. Because when the thoughts, and he says, I think he uses the term, they bubble up.
Yeah.
I actually envision when the thought pops in that it bubbles and goes boop. And he said, that's an energy release, and that's a good thing. So yeah, I've done it a few times,
and that is it. See, it's working for me. I'm able to do it, and it does feel good. Do you feel good? Do you feel better when you're done, even if it's for 5 minutes?
Yes.
Do you physically and mentally feel better?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
Which is weird, and then that makes you want to do it more. Frankenberry, have you ever meditated a single moment in your whole life?
Wait, give him a second. Have the eyes roll back.
Yeah, it's not.
All right, wait. Yeah.
Actually,
we'll hit you in the back of the head.
Yes, no creaking sounds right now. You know, no mechanical sounds of my eyes rolling back and rolling back forward. But no, I mean, actually, look, I can be very good at least sitting quietly without speaking, without saying a word. I can do that quite often and quite easily. I don't necessarily meditate. I don't know if I can clear my mind. I mean, you know, maybe it's a little bit easier to try this approach, you know, the little pop the bubble approach. You know, that might be something for those of you that have tried before, like Jonna just said, to consider. No, I mean, I can do that, believe it or not. I just don't do it enough, I guess. But I have tried breathing exercises, especially recently with some of the issues that I've been dealing with when it comes to getting sick and having, you know, a respiratory infection that just didn't want to go away. Well, you know, that has forced me to slow down a little bit and do some of the exercises that some of the folks we've talked to in the past have explained to us. And that has been helpful. So, I mean, you know, there is something there as well.
So do you, when you're doing your breathing exercises, which serve a health purpose, right, for you,
right,
are you finding that it's affecting in a positive way, like your stress level? Is it making you feel good, not just physically, but emotionally?
You know what? I have not gone that far. I have not thought about it. I mean, I would much prefer to get out and get some exercise and do some walking first, you know, get myself feeling a little bit healthier as well. So, I think that would be a bigger boon to me, would be to, you know, just get out in the sun a little bit more.
Yeah. A little vitamin D.
Yes.
I do want to tell you the most, shocking thing that I have learned from my new meditation practice. Yes, I have a meditation practice.
Oh my God.
Now. Yes. Yes, I do. What? I do.
Finally, you have gotten to it, and now it becomes something you can sound a little bit cocky about.
Yes.
Oh, yes. But by the way, no, I'm sorry, Margaret. I can't get back to you later because you know what? I have a meditation practice, Margaret, and I'm going to need to get to that first. Okay. Tell Buffy I said hi.
Yes, that's pretty much it. So two things are shocking. Now I have a meditation practice, which I never thought I'd hear myself say. And the second thing that's shocking me before I get back to my meditation practice is I probably in the last few months have actively taking out the garbage, not wearing a bra and not caring that I'm not wearing a bra. See how things change when you mature? See?
And I'm guessing you were not wearing heels either.
And not heels.
Look
right.
at you. Look at you.
I know. I went out all scrubby in my sweats, braless. I even think I had my hair pulled back in a weird sort of, not even a ponytail. I just pulled back the bangs, like totally Joe Dirt sort of trailer parking and stuck a little bobby pin in there. I didn't even care. People walking their dogs. I'm like, howdy, neighbor. Howdy. I'm braless, taking out the garbage.
There you go. And the garbage now is wondering how come it no longer rates. You know, hey, what did we do to you, lady, where suddenly you're not getting all spiffed up to throw us in the can?
See, it's the new me. But here's the shocking part about my meditation practice. And that is, I used to think that meditation was a complete waste of time. Like, and I meant it in the most, I don't know, workaholic sense. Like, I don't have time to take 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 11 minutes, whatever, however many minutes I choose. I don't have time to do that and take it away from the things that are actually productive. That was always my excuse. Well, one of the excuses for not doing it. Now that I'm doing meditation this new way, I'm like, I can't get enough. I want to take a full, like, 15 minutes every day.
No.
Yes.
I know, Carol. Holy cow.
I know. It's shocking.
It is shocking. That's more shocking than braless.
Exactly. No. Exactly. And especially, you know, just, I mean, and not even with no joking around, for how busy you have been lately, you to just be able to say that you're okay with taking 15 minutes. Usually in the past, even if you did have, you know, a meditation practice and you told Margaret to wait,
a meditation practice,
you wouldn't do it. You would say, no, I'm too busy. But now it's like, oh, you're finding the importance in it even takes precedent over some of the other stuff.
Yes. And I kind of learned, you know, I think Carol will agree. We've talked about this on air and off air, that you do sometimes when you quiet yourself totally is the best thing you can do so you can be more productive. Like, you need a little bit of that sort of quiet time.
Yeah.
And especially now, as you guys know, like, for whatever reason, I'm crazy busy. I don't even like it. I'm not even saying that's a good thing. But if I weren't doing this little tiny bit of meditation practice, I probably would be crumbled on the floor like a big chewed up piece of gum. So I appreciate the little 15 minutes of solace that I get staring at a flame. And that's how I've been doing it, staring at the flame.
Okay, now the only question I have is eventually creeping into from the underneath and then up top into your meditation, you don't by any chance hear any bands kicking into an encore, do you?
Bands kicking into an encore?
Yeah.
No.
You know, as you're holding up that flame.
It's not from a lighter, Frankenberry. It's not from a Bic.
Oh, okay. No. I got you. Well, you know, people use phones these days for that kind of thing.
Frankenberry, I have a meditation practice and I use a candle. Okay? I use a candle for my flame.
I don't do my meditation practice with the peasants. I use a candle.
And it has been working. It's working so well. You want to hear something else that's completely unrelated, but in a weird way, I think it is related. Do you guys want to know? You want to know? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So ever since I've been calming down like 15 minutes a day and doing my meditation practice, the cats, now let me just say, Mama Chewy, I know you can hear me.
Yeah.
Our secret is our secret forever.
It's still there.
Right. Now, Mama Chewy is the only person on this planet other than me who knows the cat count in my home. She's the only one I trusted to take this to the grave, me and her. Okay. And that's not going to change. But guess what's happened recently with the cats? So the cats, I think, picking up on, I don't know, maybe my extra busyness or what have you. I tend to leave the house when I have to run the dishwasher, I push the on button before I leave the house and before I go to the office so that they're doing their thing. And then I come home and I empty the dishwasher. Lately, every time I do that and I leave the house and I come home, the cats have opened completely the dishwasher.
No.
Nice.
Now here's the thing. Now I know it's going to sit in you're like, how is that possible? Well, my dishwasher does at the end of the cycle, it just pops itself open about an inch.
Yes, my sister's does the same, just to let the steam out.
And my cats have figured out, for some reason, they must like it. And they have figured out how to open the door completely. So when I come home, it's completely open. So now, first I was mad. I'm like, darn you cats. But here's my thought. I think the next step for them is they're going to empty it for me. Wouldn't that be great if they could each take like a little fork, boop, 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 put it in the drawer? What do you think? I think it's possible. I'm going to meditate on that.
Walk it on their hind legs, wear it an apron. grabbing the stuff out of the dishwasher. But you know what you need to do now? Have you put a camera on that yet?
Oh,
you have to see, because obviously one of the cats or two of the cats have to get either on top of the counter,
right,
or on the side to actually pull that door open. Somebody's got to stand on the thing or pull on the thing. So you got to see how this happens.
Oh, Frankenberry, you're so, like, I got to see, right? Maybe they're using it like a ride. Like, they get on top and woo, ride the door.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm going to do that. By the time we are here next week, I am going to have video of how my cats are opening the dishwasher and then hopefully eventually emptying the dishwasher. I don't even care that they got dirty little paws. I need the help. If I can train them how to empty the dishwasher, I'm going to do it.
That's right. Take it where you can.
Right? And then I'll have you guys over for, you know, drinks and hors d'oeuvres. You're going to be picking up the fork and going, where has this been? I wonder.
I'll bring my own utensils next time.
Okay. Fair enough. But it would help my nervous system, I think. Is it too early for a Segue?
I think you're okay with a segue at this point, Ms. Billboard.
You think
yes.
So?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
It's weak, but okay.
Wait, did you have a better one?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have anything better, so we're going to...
Yeah, so setting the bar real low. I don't care because I have a meditation practice.
Oh, that's right. You have to get to that.
All right. Coming up after the break, we will have with us the very brilliant Kate Northrup. She's the author of multiple books. She's got, if you missed my intro in the beginning, she's got a fascinating approach if you want to earn more money and enjoy earning more money and make it easier. And she says we each have our nervous system is tied into how we earn money. And when you reset that, it's called money reset. And it's absolutely fascinating. So if you stress about money, stick around, listen. We're going to talk to Kate Northrup.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you very much on that. So that is what we have on the way with Jonas Billboard and Carol Pesci. And also, of course, Mama Chewy. And I'm sure we will talk to Mama Chewy a little bit more in segment number 3 after we hear from Kate Northrup. We'll be back. It's Happy Hour.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Yeah, who doesn't want that? And she's a repeat guest. It's been a number of years since she's been on our show, Kate Northrup. She's kind of a big deal. And we have our very good friend of the show, Jeannie Kelly, to thank for arranging this for us. So Kate is an entrepreneur. She's a best-selling author and mother. She has built a multimedia digital empire that reaches hundreds of thousands globally. She's the author of Money, A Love Story, and Do Less. I think the last time she spoke with us, we were speaking about Do Less, which I love, just do less. There's a whole reason behind that. Kate's work has been featured on the Today Show, Yahoo Finance, Women's Health, Glamour, Oprah Daily, The Huffington Post, and more. She's here today to talk to us about a fascinating angle involving your relationship with money and how to reset it. So welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Love it. So you have a program and a concept that is fascinating to me, that if people have anxiety around money, even as they're earning more and earning maybe more than they even set out their goals to be, they still have stress about money. And you come at it with a very, very intriguing angle that there might be something with your body's nervous system tied to money.
Yes.
So what's going on there?
What the data shows us is that our results, we all know this part's intuitive, but our results are created by our behavior, and our emotions and our thoughts and beliefs create our behavior. We behave based on thoughts and beliefs and based on emotions. It used to be the common assumption that our thoughts and beliefs, what we repeatedly thought about, what we believe, would create our emotional reality. But what actually we've come to understand is that it's the opposite way around. And the very thing that creates our emotions is our nervous system. And our nervous system rules our unconscious. And so while people are going around thinking that they're going to solve their money problems by negotiating for a higher salary or doing a tighter budget or coming up with an investing strategy. And all of those things absolutely matter. If we don't get our nervous system on board and aligned with those behaviors, we will sabotage ourselves every time, because the nervous system wants to make sure that we only experience that which is familiar. And for most people, they want a financial reality that's different than what they've experienced before. So their nervous system is preventing them from creating what they want instead of supporting them. And so what I teach people to do is rewire their nervous system and set up solid actual financial systems. So both things at the same time, so that their financial desires become a reality supported by the invisible patterning in our nervous system and supported by the strong financial foundation that's set up.
So here's the big question of the hour. And this makes so much sense to me. And it could also explain to somebody listening right now who's like, working so hard, I'm pushing so hard. Why am I not getting the results? That has nothing to do with your intelligence, potentially, or effort. How did you discover this, Kate? This is fascinating.
completely by accident, like most things, through my own difficulty.
We'll learn the best then.
We always learn the hardest way. But what happened was I was in a season of tremendous financial pressure. My husband had a chronic illness that was mysterious. He had dropped out of life. He's also my business partner. And so not only were we one man down in the marriage and family and parenting, we were also one man down in terms of earning power.
No pressure there.
Mm-hmm. We had two little kids, 2.5 and 5, and we had just moved to Miami, which is one of the most expensive cities in the world. And we also still had our life going in Maine. So suddenly expenses had doubled. And I felt so much stress and pressure. And wow. I went into overdrive, like super hyperdrive, to do as many things as I could possibly do. Like I was like, I have 35 ideas for a campaign in our business, and I'm going to market this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And I realized through a series of conversations with my coach that I was responding to a difficult situation through my old survival patterning, which is how we all respond.
That's the first one we learned.
Exactly. Right? When stress and pressure mount, we go back to the deepest, most practiced wiring we have. And for me, it was achieve and perform and become more capable. My pattern was, I can be smart, capable, and effort my way out of anything. But what was suggested to me at the time, which seemed like a ridiculous idea, was that I would try 90 days where instead of doing 35 new campaigns and pushing and working extra hours and trying 800 different ways to make more money, I would deliver only on the things we had already promised. I would put the business in coast mode, and I would tend to what was really struggling, which was my own nervous system and my own family. So instead of going out in the world to perform and earn, I was directed to go in.
That and must have felt so counterintuitive.
It was awful. At the time, it's, you know, the beautiful gift of difficult seasons is it can bring us to our knees and say, I have to do something differently here. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not going to make it. And at the time, I'd gotten blood work back from my doctor. And he said, if you keep going like you're going, you're going to get really sick.
Oh,
and
boy.
That was such a warning for me, because with two young children living 3,000 miles away from family with a sick partner, I didn't have the luxury of getting sick. So I set an amount of money that I would be comfortable going into the hole, like not comfortable, not like, oh, great, I want to overspend, but an amount that was like, okay, we won't, you know, end up on the street.
Right.
And I said 90 days. Okay. And during that 90 days, every time I went into the addictive pattern of performing from pressure and urgency and stress, I had a small menu of items that were an alternate choice. And they were go for a walk, go sit by the ocean and kind of like meditate and listen to my intuition, call a friend, or go scream into a pillow in the closet.
And I like all of those.
Yeah. These are all innately repatterning for the nervous system. And so, because it's co-regulation, it's stillness, it's letting emotion flow through our bodies. Oh, or I could just lay down on the floor. And I did that for 90 days. And at first it was deeply uncomfortable. It felt like I was dying and it felt like everything in my world was going to fall apart. And, you know, I was up at night, 3 a.m. catastrophizing. But what happened is it became easier and easier. And after 90 days, we had not gone into the hole at all financially.
Whoa. Calmed yourself down.
We actually hit all of our financial goals. Because I relaxed first before I had evidence that it was a good time to do so. And that changed everything. We made more money than we had previously with all my song and dance performance, anxiety, urgency, energy. And it gave me the living embodied evidence that stress and pressure are not required for financial success.
Kate, this is amazing. And I have to ask, like, how did that happen though? Like, for example, so you relaxed instead of going hard, charging, trying to figure out a way to earn the money that you needed. Right. How then did the money
come from? Let's talk about the mechanics of that. So I was already running a business. I've been running a business since 2009. So the infrastructure was there. And I also already had customers. At the time, my primary business model was a monthly membership. So the mechanics are, during that springtime, it was spring of 2021, I had already had planned our re-enrollment campaign. So while I was not allowed in my experiment to do anything new, I was allowed to follow through on what I had already planned and what I had already promised. So I kept running my membership, and all I did was rinse and repeat the re-enrollment campaign from previous years. But what I know happened is that my members, every transaction in our life financially is relational, meaning the only way money comes into our bank account is because somebody else spent it on us. Yep. Right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're an employee, that's true. If you're a business owner, that's true. Money comes from someone else's hands into your bank account. And so what I know for sure, now that I've done so much research about electromagnetic fields, and
I was
the way
just
in which,
gonna ask yes, you about quantum physics.
Yes, it's all quantum physics.
Yes.
I changed my frequency and my members could feel it. And so we had a huge uptick in re-enrollment that year.
We could have you back just to talk about that specific element by itself.
And that's what a relaxed nervous system does. It makes you magnetic to money.
Oh my gosh. I hope everybody's ears just picked up right now. I'm going to say it again before we close. We're talking with Kate Northrup, author of multiple books, and she's got a program now. Actually, you can get at least the initial steps for free, resetting your nervous system to align with the money that you desire. Okay. So how do you guide people to determine if they have, and most likely they do, a nervous system issue relative to money? You must have to unearth that before you address it, or no?
We do. We need to identify. I have something called the hidden money ecosystem, and it's made up of your energetics, so your emotional relationship with money and your nervous system set point, and your engineering, which is like, what are you actually doing with your money once it comes into your life? And most people are trying to fix their money life by making more money. But if you do not have a healthy hidden money ecosystem, no amount of money is ever going to make the money stick, grow, or make you feel any better, like any more rich. And so we start with assessing what state is your hidden money ecosystem in. Okay. And then once we know what state it's in, then we can identify, okay, where are the money leaks? There are 10 of them that I've identified primarily.
Oh, wow.
And then we just, you know, it's just like if you have a leaky roof, if you know where the leak is, you just patch it up, and then it works again. So it's fairly straightforward mechanically. But of course, everybody has to kind of identify personally where they're at, because no money story for anyone ever is the same.
This must be incredibly rewarding for you.
It really is, especially right now in this time of history when, you know, the global landscape is changing under our feet by the hour. What we know and the data shows us is that the number one determiner of financial success is not education. It's not income and it's not circumstances. The number one determiner of financial success is a sense of agency, meaning the knowledge that if you take action, you can create a positive result. And when we heal our nervous system as it relates to money, we have that sense of agency, that sense of choice built right in. And it makes financial success inevitable, regardless of the economy, your baseline income, your education, or your circumstances.
Hey, I have two questions that I don't want to forget. I'm going to give you the
You have not asked a stupid question this show yet. Is there one coming?
Yeah, there's two coming.
Okay.
There's two. But okay, so I'm going to ask you the second question. I want you to table that and answer it after I ask you the first question. But the second question is, if this system, for lack of a better word, works for money, if you can reset your nervous system in order to reset your attitude with money, couldn't you also do that for anything in your life that is lacking? Health, relationship, self-image, anything like that? Don't answer that question yet. I first want to ask you, are you also telling us that all the books we've read and all the webinars we've attended and all the Tony Robbins tapes we've listened to
for the last favorite.
39 years,
39,
were all for naught because they don't mention the nervous system? They're like thoughts, think this. And then it comes. Are you turning that all upside down or is it congruent with that?
This is not a stupid question. That was
not
a
at all.
Great question.
I was hoping it would be stupid, but
she used the word congruent.
Amazing. Good vocab. I am not saying that doesn't work, but what I am saying is we have been playing around at the very tip of the iceberg, like the 5%, the last 5%, and ignoring the 95% that actually gets you results. And that lives in the body, not the conscious mind.
That makes sense.
You cannot change the way you feel through your thoughts.
Okay. Wow. So now my nervous system is uptight because I went on your website and I'm trying to get my money reset for free. Uh-huh. And it's processing. Is it feeling that my nervous system is so shot? It's like, it's going to take a long time to download. I don't know. I mean, is that what it's doing?
She needs extra help.
I don't know. It may be your Wi-Fi. I definitely know.
Or is it my Wi-Fi? It could be my Wi-Fi.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So question number two then. Her second question. Can you apply this
elsewhere?
What's so cool, you know, the recovery world has this phrase, polish over here, shine over there. And it is absolutely true. What I find with our students is that this work makes every single area of their life better. The number one thing I hear is that it heals marriages, which was not what I ever set out to do. But we have so many testimonials from couples who, even if only one person in the couple does the work, it actually makes the whole partnership so much better because money stress is the number one cause of divorce and discord in marriages. And so when that gets handled, people, their sex life improves, their level of connection, their level of romance improves. And certainly physical health outcomes, I mean, across the board, everything gets better when you do this work.
And part of what we're talking about here for if this is a new concept for people listening, at the core of law of attraction, that we know scientifically proven now that the core of everything in the universe, every cell in your body, everything you look at, everything is energy. And when you come across someone brilliant like yourself who went through a difficult time and now has turned that into something for the benefit of others, which is a beautiful thing, when you shift your energy, everything shifts around you to match that.
It can't help it.
Right. It has to.
I'm in, by the way, just letting you know.
Amazing.
Congrats, I'm in. Keep an eye on my inbox. I can't wait. Okay, good. Carry on. But I do agree with that. And I also agree, if I could just add one thing to that before we, sorry, Carol.
I think when your
nervous system is not so nervous, for lack of a better word, Not only does it help you, I think, in all aspects of your life, but I also think it's a little contagious.
Yes.
And it will rub off on those around you.
It does. That's called co-regulation. It's based on the mirror neurons in our nervous systems. We cannot help but adjust to the person with the strongest nervous system in the room. They're the thermostat.
This is why I stay home so often.
Yeah, her dog is her thermostat.
Oh, yeah. And that's my perfect speed. Yeah. Oh, wow. Kate, this is so fascinating. I'm so glad we're able to make this work. We're going to wrap up. Make sure people know where to find you, how to get that free course. You have other things going on. Are there any key points you would like to cover before we wrap up?
I just want to make sure that everybody knows that nobody is born being good with money. So therefore, it is a learned skill and it is not complicated. The financial industry uses all this jargon and that is on purpose to keep people stuck. And everyone can learn this. It is not hard. And when you have that felt sense of agency, which the nervous system work repatterns, absolutely everything becomes possible.
So no matter what financial state you're sitting in right now, you can make changes through learning from you that will start improving your life and financial situation, no matter where you are right now.
100%. And it can happen a lot quicker than you think.
Oh, I love that confident answer so much.
Hey, do you do coaching? I know you offer these products on your website, which is katenorthrup.com, but do you do like one-on-ones or what else do you do?
I don't do one-on-one, but I teach a program once a year live called Relaxed Money, where we have so much community and support and office hours and group coaching and Q&A and it's phenomenal. So Relaxed Money is coming right up, so people can keep an eye out for that.
Great.
My goodness. We're wrapping up here with the brilliant Kate Northrup. She has the program is called Money Reset, right?
Yep.
And then the two books that you have are Do Less and Money, A Love Story. If people wanted to learn more about you, buy your books or get the free course on the Money Reset, how do they do that best, Kate?
Head over to katenorthrup.com. I'm also teaching a free workshop coming up called Good With Money. So you could head to katenorthrup.com/good. And you can also go to Instagram at Kate Northrup. And if you want to sign up for the workshop, all you have to do is send me a DM with the word good.
Awesome. Kate, thank you so much. This is amazing. You're going to do wonderful things for people and all of that will come back to you and your family tenfold. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time there, peoples, peeps, friends, pals, Romans, countrymen, something like that, whatever. We are back with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci and Amama Chewy. Hello, ladies, all three of you.
Hello.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
All right. So we had Kate Northrup there, who's been on the show before with some very good advice for folks that I'm sure, or at least I hope you took notes.
It's so fascinating to me. And it makes complete sense.
Sure does.
And when, you know, we referenced quantum physics there briefly, everything in the universe is energy, everything. So if you adjust your nervous system first, particularly with the topic of money, and she explained what happened to her that she had to back off. She had to calm down and still met her financial goals, practicing what she preaches.
Now, I bet you. So I think it would be really interesting to work with her. And I did download. She's got a guide that you can download for free that I'm going to dive into. Because if you think about it, it's almost like a catch-22 situation. When people are worried about money, their nervous system, right? Their adrenal glands, everything kind of revs up. And that just creates more of what she says we need to dissipate. So I think it's really going to take some discipline to be able to calm your nervous system and because you're so worked up over your money issues that calming your nervous system almost seems impossible, but not according to her. Not only is it not impossible, it's you got to do it.
Yep.
Which is and it kind of goes not against everything that we've
It's counterintuitive.
Yeah. It, you know, but But it, like you said, it makes perfect sense. And if you're struggling like that for some reason, you got nothing to lose by giving it a try. Because there's nothing worse. I don't care what you're nervous about. When you're on edge, like physically on edge, your body feels different, regardless of the cause, money, health, whatever. Your body feels different. And when you talk about quantum physics, that energy is just going to get you more of that crap. Yep. That's going to be, we should write a book. That's going to be the name of our joint book someday, Carol.
What is it?
It's, we don't want more of that crap. No more of that crap.
And then you two can be guests on a show that book guests sometimes based on the titles of their book.
Mm-hmm. Don't we do that already? We do that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you will be on a similar show.
You know, funny story, when I first started writing Happy Bitch, before the title came to me, I think one of my working titles was Enough of This Crap.
See?
Nice.
That's
there
a
you
sign.
Go. Okay.
That's a sign. She had, and I love when people write from a place of been there, done that, right? Instead of just, I'm going to tell you what to think, even though I've never struggled with it myself.
Right. Right. Yeah. She was cool. Well-spoken. I downloaded the free money reset program. So, yeah.
So we'll get into that. Maybe we can talk about that. I don't know if I'll get into it this week. Maybe we can talk about it actually on another show.
Okay. Right. All right. And just remember there, Carol, if that does work for you, 10% goes to the house, even the co-host that is just co-host adjacent when it comes to actually putting some of this stuff into practice.
There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, so Carol, you mentioned earlier in the show here that that you are hanging with the Mama Chewy.
Yep.
So how are things with the Mama Chewy? Mama Chewy, where are you? Talk to us.
I'm right here.
Okay. All right. So how are things? How are things? Is Carol regressing back to, like, say, when she was 12 and you have to yell at her?
I never yelled at her. Really?
I believe that. Okay. I believe
that as well.
They were good to
her. She corrected us.
Yes.
She corrected us, but yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I didn't even call them. I opened the door and rang a bell.
Oh, God.
Like Little House on the Prairie?
We've talked about this. It's been a long time. Thanks for bringing it up, Mom.
There you go.
My father didn't want to yell when it was time to come back for dinner. And then we would all be like playing kickball or hide and seek or something with all the neighborhood kids. And you'd hear the ding, 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 ding. Everybody's like, it's the Zuckert bell.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, so the kids and the cat all show up at the same time. Nice.
And it worked. We'd come back.
Right. Nobody mistook it for the ice cream truck coming through the neighborhood.
No. Yep, that was the Zuckert bell. Yeah. All right. So I think that's about a wrap. Say bye-bye to Mama Chewy. Mama Chewy, say bye to the gang.
Bye, kids.
All right. Mama Chewy, we got to have you on more often. Always great to hear your voice.
Yes, it is fantastic to hear your voice there, Mama Chewy. Loves from this end, from this Frankenberry end.
Yep, and from this end.
All right, she's saying love to you guys, too. All right.
Well, to Kate Northrup, thank you for joining us again here. And for Jonas Philbor and for... excuse me. Sorry, I'm choking on your name there, Pesky. What'd you do to me? She cast a spell on me is what she done. That girl, she's a witch. She cast a spell on me. For Jonas Philbor and Carol Pesci, and of course for Mama Chewy, this has been Happy Hour, and we will be back again next week, same time right here, and we'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Philbor and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.